Wednesday presents Helen Hayes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, America's best-loved tea, Lipton's tea, presents America's best-loved actress, Helen Hayes. For tonight's performance, Miss Hayes has selected Let the Hurricane Roar, adapted by Therese Lewis from the novel of Rose Wilder Lane. And now, Lipton's tea is proud to present Helen Hayes.
Thank you and good evening. Our story tonight is about two people of great heart who dared to face an unknown and terrifying wilderness because to them it seemed a land of promise. They and all the others like them left us an eternal heritage of courage and dogged faith in America.
Helen Hayes as Caroline, with Herbert Rudley as Charles in Let the Hurricane Roar.
Let the hurricane roar, it fills us with a deal. We'll weather the blast and land at last on Canaan's happy shore.
The time, the late 1870s. The place, a growing settlement in the Middle West. And a young girl is writing a letter.
Dear Aunt Emily, it's been too long since last I wrote you, but when you read further, I believe you will understand this seeming negligence, for I have glorious news indeed. Yesterday, in the afternoon, Charles and I stood up together and spoke our vows. And afterwards, our friends and families joined with us in celebration. There was dancing in the barn, and whenever the fiddles were silent, much general laughter aimed at dear Charles and me. But finally, we did slip outside away from the others.
We'll have a fine life. We'll make our way together.
Always together. It's what I've been dreaming since we were children.
Oh, sweetheart, I've never seen you so pretty.
That's the moonlight.
There wasn't a moon out this afternoon. It's you.
It's being happy. Oh, we better go back, Charles, or they'll be out here teasing us.
No, wait. Caroline, look out there at the settlement. When we were growing up, it was just stumpy fields and forests. But other settlers have been moving in right along until now.
I know. The best is already gone.
The free land is farther west. It's rich there, they say, and level and without forest.
And it's in you to go there.
It's in me to build you a fine home one day. A big white house with two bedrooms and a parlor. Out there, don't you see? We'd be in at the start. We could grow up with the greatest country on earth.
Oh, Charles, I do see it would be our chance.
But, Caroline, you'd be leaving your family forever. It'll take long, long months. We'll have to stop all the way while I work for supplies. There'll be nothing but wind and sun and endless miles of prairie. Oh, hang it. Maybe we'd better not.
Yes, Charles, what I want as much as you. And this is more important than the wind and the sun and the travel. This is our whole future together.
You're right. You do see.
So we'll tell our parents, and as soon as we get ready, we'll go.
Caroline, Angel.
Listen. They're singing your favorite hymn.
We'll weather the blast and land at last on Canaan's happy shore.
Dearest mother and all, I send you this word of our continued welfare from a railroad camp where Charles has been working the past month. Now that we have money for additional supplies, we are ready to set out again and will soon be on our way. Charles, you shouldn't have bought me that calico.
Don't you like it?
I love it, but 15 yards. We have to be thrifty.
You were due for a present. By the way, did you remember to kiss me for it?
Yes, I did. But it's such nice calico, I really think I ought to thank you again.
Now, I like that idea. Come here, squaw.
Squaw?
I've never seen one with a browner face. Come here. I want to kiss you.
Charles.
Oh, my little squaw.
I'll bet your baby's going to be a papoose.
Well, Charles, it's your baby, too.
What? Oh, Gee! Gee!
Charles, what were you talking about to that man before we left?
He was telling me about a homestead in the Dakotas. 50 acres of land, already broken, and a sod barn. Even a crick.
Well?
Oh, it's out of the question for us.
Why?
He lived in a dugout. Just sod, a hole in the ground.
But, Charles, 50 acres already broken. That's better than anything we'd hope to start with.
That man's on his way back because he couldn't stand another winter of loneliness.
Well, you wouldn't have to go away, would you?
No, I'd be there, but you can't have a baby in a place like that. You need neighbor women with you.
It's natural to have babies. I don't want anyone else there when ours is born. Please, Charles, we mustn't let anyone else get a place we want so much. Let's turn back to the land office. We've got to file a claim to that homestead. Dear Mother, I take my pen in hand to let you know that the three of us are well and happy. The baby has borne up wonderfully well. I do wish you could see little Charles John. He would melt your heart, I'm sure. My last letter to you has lain all winter between the pages of our Bible. The first blizzard came in October and prevented its ever being mailed. We were hard-pressed at first to make our dugout snug, but soon the dirt walls were pounded smooth and hard, and Charles had made a small window hole to let in the daylight. Were it not for that window and the cook stove pipe, which sticks up into the grass above us, no one could tell that our home even existed. But that's been a needless concern, for in all these months we've not encountered another human. Charles has been away hunting this afternoon, and I can scarcely wait for him to come home. Charles! Charles!
Caroline, is anything wrong?
No! It's good news! Look over there! See that covered wagon stopped out on the plain?
Well, who in heck...
It's a Swedish couple named Svensson. They stopped the dugout on the way past, and guess what, Charles? They've decided to settle less than a mile away. Just think, we're going to have neighbors. I came as fast as I could. I was at the washing. What is it, Charles?
Do you see the wheat? Caroline, look at it.
I am, dear. It must be a very good crop.
Good? It's... Why, in places it stands right up to my armpits. Do you know wheat's worth a dollar a bushel out here? This crop's going to bring $2,000.
Oh, Charles, $2,000. Could we... Do you suppose we could buy a cow?
A cow? A herd of cows? Caroline, you goose, we're rich! Rich! How are the bees, Mrs. Svensson?
We have 3 hives now. We lost the bees. They work hard as we do. Well, goodbye now.
Goodbye, Mrs. Svensson. Thanks so much for your visit. I'll be over to see you soon.
And thanks for the honey.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Caroline. Caroline, look here in the barn. I bought some things.
Oh, Charles, you shouldn't.
Look at that mowing machine. Oh. Brand new. The latest thing.
It's so big, Charles, and shiny. But you didn't go in debt, did you?
We're good for it, aren't we? You should have heard the excitement in town when I told him about our wheat. I ought to be cutting it about the end of next week.
That's why they gave you credit?
Of course. We won't spend another winter in that hole in the ground. Caroline, I'm going to start on the house. A white-painted house with 2 bedrooms and a parlor. We're on our way at last.
And you've done it all yourself. You've worked hard and well, and you've persevered. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, you're the one. You've had the confidence. But now, thank God, I know I'm going to be able to take care of you and the baby the way I ought to.
Charles. Charles, that's Mrs. Svensson. We better see.
What's she pointing up at?
Look, that cloud over the sun. I've never seen anything like it. And how fast it's moving. Oh, Mrs. What is it? Tell us, please.
Oh, goodness, the man. Bandage.
I don't know what you're saying.
Caroline, that cloud, it's traveling like the wind.
Oh, Mrs. Fenton, you must tell us what's wrong.
The sky! The sky!
Caroline! Listen! What do you make? Good God in heaven!
Joe! Joe! It's alive! Millions of them!
Grasshoppers! Quick! We gotta start fire! Mudgers! The wheat! We've got to save it!
Jig's up. The wheat's gone, every spear of it. Why don't you say something?
I guess if there isn't any wheat, we'll get along without it. We always have.
But we've never been in debt before. Oh, Caroline, if I hadn't been such a fool.
There, it's all right. I'm afraid you were going to get sunstroke out there all day.
Not even flour for this winter, not even seed.
Charles.
Caroline, you're sick.
No, kill them. Look, the grasshoppers, they're coming in over the door. They're all over.
Couldn't get a job. Everybody's looking for work. There isn't a blade of grass left anywhere. The grasshoppers took everything.
Never mind. We'll get along.
No, we won't. My credit's no good. We've got to give up the homestead and get out.
Give up the...
Maybe I can find work if I get far enough east.
Oh. But, Charles, why not just go east until next winter? Don't give up the homestead.
How can we make a trip like that and come back inside of 5 months? We'd have to travel slow with a baby, and I'd be working all the way to keep us going.
But you don't understand.
Besides, claim jumpers would grab this place as soon as we got out.
Nobody's going to grab it while I'm here.
What?
I mean it, Charles. We've got a home, and we're going to keep it.
But you don't think you're going to...
Yes, I do. You go east alone, I'll be all right. The Svensons are here.
No, I won't even think of it.
You've got to. It's the only way. We still have enough supplies to take care of me till October.
I said I'd never leave you. That was why we came.
It's different now. Charles John makes it different. We have to hold on. No country's going to feed us with a spoon.
Caroline.
So you must go, Charles, and without fear that I'll ever be afraid. We're strong enough for the West. You'll come back in the fall and we'll have another winter here together, just the three of us. And then it'll be spring again. A new crop, Charles. And a new year.
And now the second act of Let the Hurricane Roar, starring Helen Hayes as Caroline, with Herbert Rudley as Charles.
Dear Charles, to know that you are safe and have found work is more joyous news than I can say. Nothing here has changed much in the weeks you've been gone, except that Mr. Loftus came out from the store and attached the team to square his bill. But do not be upset, Charles, as there is a laughable side to this. Now Mr. Loftus will have to feed the team. I asked him to try to send me my mail by some rider passing by. Thus, about an hour ago, your dear letter was finally delivered, and on the very day that Mrs. Benson at last went into town. Should he bring back still further word from you, it would clearly have a spoiling effect upon me. I am feeling fine, Charles, and your son is fat and sassy. As a matter of fact, the little papoose is... Oh. Mrs. Benson, is that you?
Yeah. Coming.
Was there a letter? Did you remember to ask?
I hurry all the way. Here it is.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Benson. Banknotes. Why would he send those?
He make out good, your husband. He want you to have the things he wants.
No. He's been hurt.
What?
His leg. He broke it working at the mill.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He can't travel till it mends. He'll come as soon as he can.
Yeah, he gets well quick. He's a strong man.
He says they're being fine to him. That's lucky, isn't it?
You could come and stay with us.
That's what Charles thinks is best. He sent the money for supplies.
Only today I make up mine. We go.
Go?
Since the grasshoppers come, bees all the time hunger. Nothing to eat. Now big bees sting, a little bee's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I stay in a place where nothing lives. Not even a bee. Since go in 3-4 weeks. And on the way, we take you to town for the winter, yeah?
I don't know, Mrs. Benson. I don't know. Come in.
Well, we come.
Hello, Mrs. Benson. I'm nearly finished my letter. Just 1 minute.
We have time.
So, you get gun now.
What? Oh, the gun, yes.
That's good. You watch for wolves.
There, now, just the address.
Why don't you come to town? Why you stay here and make us worry for you?
If Charles weren't hurt and helpless, he'd be the one protecting the place. But it's up to me now.
He wouldn't like you staying here all alone.
He won't know. I've just written that I'm moving in with you.
Yeah, you good wife.
I want something to come of all this.
I know.
Here. This is the list of supplies I want, and here's the money.
Yeah, we see they come soon, before the snow.
Yes.
Well, we go now.
I'll be thinking of you every day. And I hope everything back east turns out just as you want it to. I hope everything's fine.
Rest of his life now. Benson, just a hard man in the city.
Well, we try hard to make out here. Goodbye. You watch out.
Yes, I'll watch out.
Good luck. God bless you.
Goodbye.
Oh.
Hello. You little papoose. You won't get sick, will you? You're strong. You'll be all right, won't you? We're safe here. We've got the gun and... Oh, please, Charles John. Please keep well. This, my dear, is the beginning of a letter you will never hold in your hand. For there is now no way to get it to the post, and when you come back, I shall tear it up. Even if something should happen to me, you will never find these foolish, frightened words, for I hide them in a place you will not discover. Mr. Svensson was right about the wolves coming. I often hear them howling down by the creek, and that of all sounds is to me the most terrifying. I keep thinking what would happen to the baby if one day while I was out... I have the gun. Nothing like that can happen. It has been snowing now for 7 days. There is no more fuel in the dugout, and it isn't possible to make my way to the barn. This morning, the only wood that remained was heavy furniture and the cradle. Having foolishly left the axe in the barn, it had to be the cradle which I could smash with my hands. And Charles, dear, the birds you carved so carefully on the footboard helped today to boil our tea and potatoes. It's too cold to write on. So I will hide these pages and lie down with the baby. I know if we stay close together under the bedding, we can exist for some time in the warmth of our own bodies. I love you, Charles. I love you. Charles, John, this time without freezing my ears. You see, I learned a lot from the blizzard. Just look out there. You've never seen anything as still as all that. Nothing but air and sun and snow. That, my son, is space. If it makes me feel small, just what it ought to do to you. What it ought to do to you. This is the 10th time I have sat down at this letter. That much I know. Although I've long since lost my reckoning of time. But it makes little difference so long as each day brings nearer the end of this winter. I haven't left the dugout for 2 days because night before last, just about this time as I was getting ready for bed... Baby, I'm sorry. Shh. Go back to sleep now. There, it's all right. It is going to be all right. Charles John went back to sleep. But I kept the lamp lighted and sat up all night watching the paper in the window pane. I was ready to shoot if I saw a paw or a head. But he never found the window, thank God. Just now, I looked up and saw the stovepipe trembling. Something must have bumped it from above. There is something on top of the dugout. A wolf could stay there all night. He could be waiting right over the door. Who is there? Listen. Listen to me. I've got a gun. I'm not afraid of outlaws.
Sweetheart.
Charles!
Oh, Caroline. Oh, I'm freezing you to death. I gotta shut the door.
Charles! However did you get here?
Didn't I tell you I'd come as quick as I could? Oh, Caroline, why did you stay on out here alone?
Your leg.
It'll be fine as ever for spring plowing. Look, Carolina. I've got $50.
Oh, Charles. Just having you back.
Oh, there's my papoose. There's the little shaver.
He's wonderful, Charles. And two teeth. Where did you see them?
Oh, Caroline. I have a feeling that the worst is already behind me. Can you believe that?
Yes. I believe that from this beginning, there is much to come. All that we do here is new, Charles. And I have borne my son toward a fine, free future. A future of wheat fields and large barns and gracious living in the big white house.
And so Lipton's Tea, America's best-loved tea, has presented America's best-loved actress, Helen Hayes.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed hearing this story. It's a favorite of mine, and I was very glad to do it again for you. I'll tell you what we've planned for next week in just a minute after... Oh,
What's the matter, Miss Hayes?
I just happened to think when I said in just a minute, suppose we didn't have a minute. Not even time enough to say what a grand cup of tea Lipton's makes.
Well, that wouldn't be so good, Miss Hayes. Because if anyone listening tonight didn't know that Lipton's was America's best loved tea, if they didn't know that every single leaf was picked when it was chock full of flavor, if they didn't know that it includes specially flavorful leaves grown right in Sir Thomas Lipton's own Ceylon gardens, well, they'd be missing a tea that would give them a lot of pleasure.
That's right, Bill. By the way, how much time have we?
Let's see the clock. Say, no time at all.
Not even time enough to tell those who use tea bags that they're missing a real treat if they don't try Lipton's tea bags?
No, Miss Hayes, not a second.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, then we'll just have to wait till next week to do it. And I hope you'll all be listening next Sunday again, ladies and gentlemen, when we're going to do Kitty Foyle, the story of a young girl with the modern dilemma of having one too many lovers. Join us and learn her unique solution to the problem. In the meantime, don't forget to contribute what you can to your local community chest this month. It's a very worthy cause, and we all ought to give generously. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to listen next week when the Helen Hayes Theater, brought to you by Lipton Tea, presents Kitty Foyle. And in the meantime, be sure to try the tea that's more popular with Americans than any other, Lipton Tea. Music for the Helen Hayes Theater is under the direction of Mark Wano. This is George Bryan bidding you all good night for Lipton Tea.
Folks, when a man sits down to a bowl of...